aging.
Falling.
The afternoon, when things slow down, when you're wondering what to do.
Why, tune in to the Mistaken Eggs podcast, of course. Serve yourself a heaping plate of humor and listen to the Mistaken Eggs podcast. New episodes available every other Monday on iTunes, SoundCloud, and the Radio DePaul mobile app. Mistaken Eggs. Breakfast has been served. Or should I say brunch?
This message brought to you by Radio DePaul, Chicago's college connection.
Good morning, Scrawl Nation. Today is Friday, April 11th, and this is Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. You're listening to Scrawl Radio, hurried but well-considered thoughts by writers for writers, brought to you by the University Center for Writing-Based Learning, a.k.a. the Equable. I'm your host, Gia Z, and I'm joined today by my lovely and talented co-hosts, Miss Katie A., Riley O., and Marina B. And today, we're just going to do a little, like, welcome back, and then also get into some poetry, because as everyone knows, it is Poetry Month.
Poetry Yay. Month, what's up?
Our fave. We love Poetry Month.
I love poems.
Yeah.
So
if
much.
If you haven't, go to the Aquable, get a little pocket poem, carry that around all day. It's nice.
Yeah.
But
poem in your pocket.
Yeah. But let's just check back in, guys. New quarter of Scrawl. Third quarter.
It's spring, or so I've been told.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. Kind of.
Legends would have it that it's yes. Spring now.
Spring Scrawl is here. And we just had spring break, which was beautiful, I'm sure. Did anyone do anything fun?
I went back home to Ann Arbor for a little bit. That Woo-woo. Was a fun stint.
Yay.
I went back home to Detroit for a little bit. I think you probably had the most fun spring break, Gia. Where did you go?
What did Marina do?
Nothing.
Okay. I did have a fun spring break.
You tell. I
went on vacation with my friends Allie and Dan to Florida.
Ooh.
Which is my first time doing one of those like warm spring break like Florida things.
It's probably like actually spring down there, huh?
No, it's like really warm. Like
okay. One would call it summer.
Yeah, yeah, one would call it summer. It was like average like high 70s, 80s,
yeah. Wow.
Which was beautiful. And I just like spent a lot of time on a beach. And I kayaked, which was fun. I saw a lot of wildlife. I saw a snake. Did not need to see that.
Oh.
See the gators?
I did
see
gators.
That's so raw.
Yeah, we do like, that's so raw.
They're like citizens down there, right?
Oh, it's crazy.
No, they have the power. I think
they have power. We went to like a big nature reserve, and we like did some hiking, and it's just like, it's like 20 square miles of just like, like some lakes and like marsh and like general forest. And we just walked around because you can walk anywhere. And we walked down to this like little lake shore, and there were these two alligators in like the middle of the water on this like tiny island sunbathing. And literally like some of the biggest things I've ever seen, like dinosaurs, like
they kind of are.
They are dinosaurs. And that's why Florida scares me, because it's just full of dinosaurs.
Dino country.
But it was beautiful to visit, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for listening. So we have some new things coming up. Last quarter we were all here.
Let's do a bit of reflection.
Yeah, let's do a little reflection on last quarter and then going into this quarter, because as we know here at The Equable and at Scrawl Radio, we love reflection.
Oh, yeah.
We love being
core value.
Reflective. It's a core value. Up? It's important to reflect. Let's reflect now.
Reflection. Go.
Let's reflect now. Marina, do you want to reflect a little on your last quarter and this quarter? What's going on?
Last quarter, I'm going to keep it so real with everyone today. Ooh. Last quarter was so bad for me.
Oh.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
Just in you know what? Here's the silver lining of it. Last quarter, I really made it through. I got straight A's, which I was there was a little bit of like, is that, is it not? Mm-hmm. Is it Will?
Is it?
And so I'm really proud of myself because I ended up like finishing the quarter very strong academically. Ooh. But overall, it was just like not a super great time. I was really cold all the time. Ooh. I ran into a lot of like random issues in my life that were just like things that I had to, it was like a lot of responsibility was like dumped upon me in like a way, you know, that wasn't, that I didn't anticipate. But I'm really excited for spring quarter because I, one, am taking really interesting classes. Two, it's going to get warm out, which really turns me back into like a real person instead of this hollow shell that I've been occupying. And three, I'm excited to be on Scrawl again. And I feel like now that it's not me and Riley's first quarter of Scrawl, and also now that Katie's been reacquainted,
now we're seasoned. We're all experts.
Yeah, we're seasoned. And we're going to like elevate it. We're here. We're literally just here to grow.
We're here to grow.
That's
hitting our strides at Scrawl this spring, I would say.
Yeah. I love that like closing line. We're here to grow.
We're here
New tagline.
Period.
Yes.
Riley, do you want to do a little reflection real quick?
Oh yeah. My last quarter was, I think, pretty similar in ways. Like it was just kind of a lot, you know? I had like a lot of responsibilities and particularly not a lot of free time. That was the main thing, you know? Like, I was busy every single day doing something or another thing. This quarter, I'm really excited because I've organized my time better, I feel. I've scheduled things more conscientiously and given myself, like, explicit room to relax and to recuperate and to do all those good things.
We love self-care.
Yes, exactly.
Spring quarter, the quarter of self-care.
Uh-huh. And, like, I'm so excited to see all the like flowers and all the like tree, like all the greenery.
The freaking trees.
Like freaking flora. I love so much. I'm so excited.
I am definitely there with you. I miss greenery.
Yeah.
Katie, why don't you reflect a little?
Yeah, so I'll continue and I'll say last quarter was also less than ideal for me, but it was just similar to Marina saying, like in the winter, you just feel like less of yourself because like I feel like I was wearing like the same like four pair of pants for like 3 months just because like you can't wear pants with holes in them in the winter. You can't wear skirts. You can't wear like pants that show your ankles. So like I just feel very like
trapped,
restricted. And now that it's getting warmer and that I have a bit of an easier quarter on my plate, I can really, you know, start to chill out and dress how I want and have some fun. And I similarly can't wait for Scrawl. There's so much for us to uncover. We gotta feature new teams, talk about new topics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're all excited. Well, as we know, my last quarter wasn't great. I wasn't doing a lot.
Oh yeah.
But there was also just a lot of external things happening that was stressful.
Yeah.
This quarter, also a little stressful considering it's my last.
Right, you're on that home stretch.
Oh yeah, I'm graduating in June. So this last quarter is all about making sure I graduate.
Yeah,
and it's like very hard to exit college when you've entered. You have to like buy things and like pay for things and do audits, and it's a mess.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, look forward to that. Mm. But I am taking some really interesting classes that I'm like excited about and I think will give me new perspectives like in reading and writing, which I'm also very excited about.
Oh yeah.
And I'm ready to like finish my career on Scrawl strong and my career at the Equable strong.
Got a legacy to pass off.
Oh God, yeah. You know. So there's like a lot of changes happening and we've all mentioned it. There's a lot of changes within the Writing Center as well.
Yeah.
Let's just take them through that real quick. The Loop campus got a little bit of a facelift.
It's completely revamped.
It looks so much better. Mm-hmm. And it didn't look necessarily bad before, but you know, when things change and you're like, wow, I'm so glad they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Although like, you know, there's like this old table that was behind one of the pillars that was just like super like rickety. I love that they've gotten rid of that and replaced it with a better table, but
love
also
that.
I feel like I'm kind of going to miss it.
I miss it a little bit.
Yeah.
I miss it a little bit because it was just like so old and squeaky.
Yeah.
Like position your writer like strategically on it. So like I miss
It has so much character somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like right by an outlet, I'm pretty sure. So it was kind of a place to be.
Now you gotta like run a wire along the ground. Someone can step on it. Mm-hmm. That's dangerous.
Yeah, I also like that there are a lot of larger like conference style tables.
Oh,
so
yeah.
There's a lot more like group work available, I guess. Or like it just feels like a lot more collaborative.
Yeah, that's the plus side.
Which is another one of our core values. So I'm glad like we're reflecting that, you know?
Yeah, it's so nice. Although like the actual like collaborative like room, the like what's it called?
The conference room.
The conference room.
Mm-hmm.
The table that was in
there. Oh, it's shorter.
It's much smaller. Yeah. It can accommodate less people.
I know. So we talked to Matthew and I think it's gonna change.
But maybe more changes coming.
Maybe more changes.
Yeah.
Coming.
Well, in addition to that, Loop Office getting a facelift, it's no longer open on Fridays and Saturdays.
Oh,
that
but
is
LPC
true.
Is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's exciting.
Yes, big PSA to writers who use the Aqua Bowl, especially the Loop Campus one. Yes, we are no longer open in Loop on Fridays and Saturdays, but we're open in Lincoln Park, which I think is usually more convenient for people.
Yeah.
I agree.
I mean, especially like if your whole major is oriented around writing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Rhetoric is up here.
Mm-hmm.
Some other things that are happening at the Writing Center. It's hiring season.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Exciting.
Yeah, so it's hiring season. We are hiring our new batch of tutors. I like that. Our new batch.
Baking them up.
Baked up a fresh batch.
Oh, that's sweet. I'm imagining like a little like anthropomorphic muffin tin like writers.
Yeah.
That's an idea for the board.
Absolutely. For the board.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I meant like the little bulletin board, decoration board, not like the board.
Baking up a new batch
but
of writers.
Too, you know. Mm.
Yeah.
Got some gingerbread tutors.
Absolutely. Well, applications are due to the Writing Center at April 22nd at noon.
So a little over a week from now.
Mm-hmm. You have a little bit of time if you're interested in applying. If you would like to apply, I think that just from looking back on my own application
it entails a few things.
Yeah, it entails a few things. However, if you're interested in writing or being a writing tutor, I think there are things that are fairly accessible.
Yeah.
From what I remember, you will do like a small like overview of a paper and do some edits. Mm-hmm. You'll submit your own work.
Yeah, you submit like two pieces of your own writing.
I think it's two writing samples, a letter, a rec, and then a cover letter, and then like editing that little essay they give you.
Yes.
Yeah, and then there's...
Oh, here we go. I found the completed list.
Ooh.
When we are correct in most.
Heck yeah.
You will need a letter of application, so a cover letter, two writing samples, a resume or CV, an application form, and a letter of recommendation emailed to the Writing Center from a faculty or staff member here at DePaul. The letters of recommendations are due by the date of the interview. Additionally, there's usually a little interview thing where you gotta teach something.
Oh, right.
Which I think is always fun.
I love that little thing.
Just showing that you can teach.
I wish that was like an assignment for more things.
Let's explain
it a bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, basically the idea is because as a tutor, part of your responsibility is to, like, impart knowledge to others. Part of your application process, I guess you would call it, to the Aqua Bowl is creating a little teaching demo for something that you like and you're interested in. And you just teach it. It's a very low pressure, I would say, environment.
And it's super open-ended too. Like you can teach like anything. So everyone has something cool.
Yeah, you really can teach anything. Because I think that the idea is sort of like everyone knows what they can and cannot really actually teach to a group of people in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I remember people from my year, with me and Riley's year, like I taught how to read tarot.
Ooh.
People taught like how to make friendship bracelets. Someone taught like how to knit.
I did a yoga pose.
Yeah, yeah. It's like people will teach like how to use this piece of equipment or just like general. Yeah. Someone did like how to bullet journal. So it's love like that. You can kind of just come at it from wherever you want. But mm-hmm. I think that it's a really, I mean, I just love the idea of like mm-hmm. a teaching demonstration. Like, I feel like I wish that mm-hmm. that was an assignment in more classes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think that it's like oftentimes it can be, you know, more a more effective way to demonstrate knowledge than like other more traditional avenues.
Mm-hmm. And I think it actually, like, in a lot of my classes, it is implemented, but implemented in a way that's not as cool. It's like mm-hmm. teach learn a concept, and then like you as a group is going to like teach it,
yeah,
and like you'll
a
have a slideshow or something like that. Like,
kill me
now. I think the problem with those are particularly like the structure of teaching, as in mm-hmm. like, teach us in this way, you know, have a slideshow,
absolutely,
have the information, rather than trying to do something clever and fun and mm-hmm. just teach in 5 minutes.
Just teach in 5 minutes and then mm-hmm. quick and short and simple.
Yeah.
Some other things that are happening at the Equo, we recently had an event yesterday, actually. It was a roundtable talk about writing from some DePaul faculty members.
Oh, yeah.
I know, Marina, you went. Do you want to say like a quick little thing about that and how it maybe applies to what we're doing here?
I would love to. KDA and I were both at the event yesterday. It was called Writing Matters. And it was basically a gently facilitated conversation.
I love
among,
that.
Thank
gently
you.
Facilitated.
Yes, I'm good with words. a gently facilitated conversation among faculty members, DePaul faculty members that were nominated by Writing Center tutors. I actually nominated Bradley Hoot, my Spanish linguistics teacher.
Ooh.
And the other teachers were Fanny Soderberg, who is
Fanny Soderberg?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who is a like feminist literary philosopher.
Yeah.
And then one other person whose name genuinely escapes me, which I'm sorry about.
We'll find
but who
it
also
maybe
did
after
who also I know had written things in like applied linguistics.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. He's in the word department, yeah.
Yeah.
He was very knowledgeable.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. so it was a really awesome night, and basically the idea was just kind of that Edward E, our like acting director, had just like some basic questions for them about writing and writing processes. I would say examples were like, why does writing matter? That was like the first question. Why does writing matter? And like, what practices do you mm-hmm. use to keep yourself on track when you're writing? Or like, how do you approach collaborative writing? What are the benefits? What are the drawbacks? Mm-hmm. And like, just kind of generally questions about writing, why it's important.
Mm-hmm.
And I really loved it. And it was just a really sort of very wholesome time, and I feel like everyone really learned a lot and also got to like ask questions and feel like a part of something. And I'm really excited because I feel like that's sort of the direction that we think we're going with in when it comes to Scrawl, is kind of bringing ourselves back into this more grounded, like, just like, let's have a conversation about writing, let's have a conversation about reading and genre.
Yes.
Yeah, we have, that brings us to our final, you know, update.
Mm-hmm.
This new quarter, we're taking Scrawl in a little bit of a different direction. Previously, we've talked a lot about our old tagline. You might have noticed it changed. Used to be hurried but well-considered thoughts about peer writing, tutoring, and the writing process, brought to you by the University Center. However, we felt that as a DePaul radio show, we should be looking more onto our ideas as students and as writers in general, not just as peer tutors. And although that gives us a unique perspective, we would like, as Marina said, to open, you know, a respectful and, I guess, diverse dialogue about rhetoric and writing and reading, and how we absorb that as writers and as readers ourselves.
And our experience with peer writing tutoring is going to naturally come through. But like, rather than orientating or orienting ourselves around that like expertise particularly, we want to see like how writing itself interfaces with our experiences as DePaul students. And try to just engage that in a more kind of holistic, a more kind of like multifaceted way.
Yeah, so some things you might see this quarter are some new topics about genre, some new conversations about writing mediums that we may have explored in the past, maybe we'll bring back some old favorites. So
maybe. Also, I will say that yesterday's event or last night's event, kind of at its core was like people talking about writing in a way that got other writers excited. Like I could see tons of people in the, I was gonna say the crowd, the audience were like writing down notes and like really excited and like ready to implement some of the practices that the writers up there were talking about. So we here at Skrull also just kind of want to make people excited about writing because, you know, talking about reading and writing should make you feel
excited.
Yeah, like a little passionate about your relationship with literacy. So that's what we're going to do here at Skrull.
So we hope you've enjoyed our little welcome back, little update. We're, you know, we got to make a move to a town that's right for us, you know, right for Skrull. And that brings us.
That's good.
Thank you. That brings us to our first song break. Please enjoy Funky Town by Lips Inc. Welcome back, Scrawl Radio. I hope you enjoyed that special treat.
That song is so good.
A funky town. I definitely enjoyed that.
I was just jabbing along to it.
Really a masterpiece, frankly. But welcome back, Scrawl Nation. This is Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. And you're listening to Scrawl Radio. Today is our first episode of the new quarter, and we've given a couple little introductions, a little insights on how Scrawl is going to be, you know, a little different.
Yeah.
We're different.
We're quirky.
We're making a move to a town that's right for us. and we wanted to spend the rest of the episode discussing Poetry Month and poetry.
Yes.
Because we love poetry, you know?
And it really segues like from the direction that we're trying to take this in, you know?
Absolutely. So because we're trying to have open dialogue about writing and reading from more of a writer standpoint as opposed to peer tutoring standpoints.
Yeah.
We just want to discuss kind of the rhetoric of poetry, how we read poetry and absorb it and what it means to us as readers and connoisseurs.
And hopefully that relates to all you listeners out there.
Yeah.
All
hopefully
you people who want to come into the Writing Center.
Hopefully all of you love poetry, because if you don't, you got to keep up.
Let's help you love poetry.
Similar to anyone who writes is a writer, anyone who wants to write poetry can be a poet.
That's very true.
I would
very
actually
true.
Love if someone made an appointment with me and was like, I want you to look at these poems.
Yes, right?
That's never, I don't know if that's ever happened in the Writing Center, but we would love that.
I mean, we're absolutely open to that. And like, we're not trained for like prose exclusively.
But there are some of us I know who take creative writing and do poetry work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I would love to get a poem and I'd be like, yeah, let's chat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
I would also like to, in this moment, plug a writing group. The Writers Guild meets, I think, on Mondays. It changes every quarter, so I'm not positive what it is.
But that information will be in our blog post.
Yeah, that information will be in our blog post, and you can go there if you have, like, most of the time it's creative works and it's like a writing group, so it's more of like a collaborative, like multiple people there looking at things, not just like a one-on-one. So if you're comfortable with like a setting in which there's more people, there's like multiple eyes on your work, and you kind of want like more like communal feedback, that's
that.
A great option as well.
That's such a good environment too.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Wasn't that your gateway into the Aquabowl Marina?
It was indeed.
Yeah, so that's
KT.
Beautiful.
We love an origin story.
I was about to say, really appreciate that you remember my origin story.
Yeah, but that shows you the Aquabowl is you know, not just an academic space. We would love to deal with more creative work. It's
and
kind of honestly rare that I receive one, an appointment, and that's fine because I understand we're all taking classes and we need help, but it's always such a treat and exciting whenever I do.
Yeah, I always remember I did a creative writing piece, had a lot of poetry like prose in it, but I was working with a creative writing piece, I think last quarter, with a student, and it was really interesting because after you discuss, you know, mechanics and structure and narrative and all the usual things we talk about in, you know, maybe a research essay, you get down to character work, and you get to get down to like your core feelings, how you read things as a reader, and how you interpret, I think. And that's usually the best way that I give feedback for creative pieces in poetry is just how did this make me feel, and is that what you wanted me to feel?
Oh yeah,
if that makes sense.
Intentionality, I think, is a very like oft repeated like lens that people go towards poetry at.
But I
like the reaction of like, how did this affect me? Like, regardless of your intentions at first, and then like, is that what you were going for? If not, you did something cool. Like, maybe let's investigate that a little bit.
Absolutely.
Well, I remember in high school, I would spend like way too much time watching like band or artist interviews on YouTube. And a lot of times they'd ask someone like, what did you mean by this lyric? And oftentimes artists will get mad at me like, I meant whatever you like perceive it as. Like, it's like a piece of art for you to like kind of interpret. And I always did really respect that answer of like, it's not, you know, once you put something out there, it's not necessarily just yours anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think with poetry, there's like such multitudes of interpretations, maybe more so than other prose pieces. And that's why poetry can be so appealing.
Yeah, I think that's really true to like lots of really great things about poetry, in that like it's kind of an art of not necessarily like manipulating exactly your conveyance of meaning, but manipulating like the openness of that meaning, mm-hmm. and like how it might resonate differently for many people. Yeah. Organizing that's unique and a skill in itself.
Mm-hmm. And there's obviously a lot of different ways that you can do that when writing poetry or reading, or different ways that you can interpret poetry when you're reading it as readers.
That's true.
And I think that brings into the question, you know, what really is a poem at that point? Because we know that there are lots of different kinds of poetry. Yeah. You know, I think when I was younger, poetry to me was just words that rhymed. That was like in a quick succession.
Yeah.
Like I'd be like, Mom, Dad, Mad, I'm a poet.
Bars.
But poetry is a really interesting genre because it is so open, like you were saying, Riley.
Yeah.
I have an article from The Atlantic up that I was reading about the defining of poetry and
Gia,
what it...
this is not our articles episode. I don't know what you're doing, really.
Right, I did research, so...
No, bring it in. Let's do it.
Yeah, so the word poem comes from Greek, poema, and it means a thing made, simply. Okay. And the word poet is defined in ancient terms as a maker of things.
I love that.
This
so
is incredibly
much.
Vague, which I love, and I think fits really well into the genre. But I wanted also to give the like Webster's Dictionary.
A maker of things.
Yeah, a maker of things.
I'm
going to
carry that with me like for the rest of my life.
You put that on your resume.
I'm a maker of things.
It's my job title.
I'm a maker of things.
That's the old content creator.
But
I'm a creative.
The definition of a poem that comes from Merriam-Webster is a piece of writing that partakes of the nature of both speech and song, that is nearly always rhythmical, using metaphorical, and often exhibits such formal elements as meter, rhyme, and stanzaic structure. Hmm. And I thought that definition was really interesting because, although, yes, at a base, that is what poetry is.
Yeah.
I think that there's still so much interpretation there, Marina.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think that almost the opposite. Like, I feel like there's a lot of what poetry to me very basically is that is not really covered through that definition.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense that they would say those things. I think that, you know, when you think about like the dictionary and who writes and reads it, mm-hmm. and like what the more conventional, traditional definition of poetry would be, it makes sense that they'd be like, oh, meter, rhyme, or whatever. But I feel like it's kind of the same thing as, in a lot of ways, like defining art, where it's like, okay, who can really say like what is and is not art?
Yeah.
That's true. It's very subjective. Riley?
I think it also, interestingly, like, helps people understand that definition in particular. I think it helps people understand poetry as distinct from potentially other forms of writing.
Yeah.
But I think it's, like, you know, too restrictive. And I was thinking this earlier when Yujia, I think, made a bit of a distinction between poetry and prose. And yet I've, like, just last quarter, I was in, like, a creative writing, like, workshop kind of thing. And we looked at a ton of prose poetry, you know?
Please define that.
Prose poetry being, like, poetry that still, like, follows the conventions of prose, you know, paragraphs, indentations, proper punctuation.
There's so many different styles of poetry.
Yeah.
You know, you have free verse, you have traditional, like, rhyming poetry, you have poetry that's geared more towards children, that often includes, like, a lot more narrative, and you have prose poetry that doesn't have to rhyme at all, or even like make complete sentences.
Yeah,
but
and no like metrical form.
There's,
no,
yeah, exactly.
Like that. It can be like essay like.
I was gonna say, I feel like that's kind of the type of poetry that I tend to write. Is like much more prose poetry. I think it's really not very frequently like paragraph type, but like it's generally like sentences. It's things that like you could mistake as prose until you read it, and then you're like, oh, there's not, oh, this is sort of a much more about like imagery and feeling than it is about like an argument or like a cohesive, like, you know, set of information.
And it's really interesting, I think, lots of the ways that poets, like prose poets, like really manipulate your expectations with that. Like you can go into something like envisioning it as an essay, and the poet can know that that's what you're coming into this thinking, and then like manipulate your expectations of that. See, like if you're like expecting a structure, they can like play off of that structure and then break it. I think that's like a really great thing that poets do. And when reading poetry, can really alter your entire lens with creative work.
Mm-hmm.
I would say working at the Writing Center, you definitely see how many different kinds of learning styles and writers there are. And not everyone is well suited to like write something that has like a structured meter and, you know, with structured standards. Like I'm not. So I do think it is really important that, like, especially in our classes, they're showing us like how we can kind of create our own genres and blend different types of writing into something that, like, I guess would say like is best for our own strengths and what we already are into.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some poets that you think you guys would say are like your favorites who maybe emulate some of these styles that you can just think of off the top of your head? Marina.
I knew this one. I got
Marina
this one.
Knew it immediately.
One of my favorite poets is this guy named Sam Pink, who's actually from Chicago, and he writes like whole books. It's very much this idea of like prose poetry, I would say, because it's a really like casual narrative style, and it's easy to mistake at some points for just kind of like unrefined prose, I guess you could say, but it's very much poetry. It's really, really interesting, and it's like one of those things where the way that he writes is sort of like this poetic stream of conscience of himself, and he is like, I think, sort of embraces kind of the vocabulary and mentality of kind of just like a scruffy like middle class white dude, which is like the kind of thing that like you wouldn't, that like for me, I'm not necessarily always very drawn to, because I really enjoy like poetry like by women about being a woman or like things like that, because that's something that I feel like I emotionally invest in a lot. And so like it can, it's easy to get, I think, like an emotional reaction from me when the poetry is about themes of like life that hold like greater emotional importance to me. But the way that he writes is just actually like really compelling and interesting. And I think he does a really good job of like, like kind of like you were saying, Riley, like both incorporate elements of like prose and poetry that kind of you like settle into a rhythm with, and then he'll like make say something that's like very starkly contrastive to everything that you've just been reading, and sometimes it's in a way where it's like suddenly very funny or suddenly very sad, or it'll just be like suddenly much more much more poetic than everything else that you were just reading. So it's really interesting. I highly recommend him and his work to everyone here. His name is Sam Pink. He also does like visual art. That's really cool. I've been thinking about buying a painting from him.
Love that.
That reminds me a lot of a poet that I was recently reading. I don't know if I said it in a what you're reading or something like that, but I recently finished Proxies by Brian Blanchfield. And he writes a lot in like the kind of like prose poetry world, and kind of does a similar thing like what you said about like kind of setting up your expectation and writing something completely different that like is so like creative and affecting that it like impacts you, especially because you've just like read two pages of like just prose essay kind of like setup.
Wow, well, thank you for sharing some of your favorite poet with us. One of my favorite poets, and I think I might share a piece later in the show. But it's Charles Bukowski, who is also a novelist. He does a lot of prose poetry, and it's very similar to his novels, where it's a lot of like narrative piece. It's very disjointed, like sentence structures. But I think it just provides like a very intense, like collective emotion, which I really appreciate, which I find in a lot of his work as well. It feels
collective
very raw.
Emotion.
Yeah, it just feels like he's not. In his poems, he never really discusses like a feeling, or he just, it's like a surrounding piece, like, this is what I'm doing, this is where I am.
He's never like, I feel so sad now.
Yeah, but he's able to capture these emotions in these like depictions of surroundings and like, you know, how like a willow tree is sad, you know? Anyways.
Interesting.
Speaking of poetry. our second song break is a little bit of a poem itself. It has a lot of rhyme meter. So different what we were talking about. But we hope that you enjoy Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys. You're listening to Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection, and this is Scrawl Radio. we're in the last 10 minutes or so of our show, so as you know, it's time for What You Reading.
What You Reading.
What You Reading. And as per our theme of Poetry Month, we wanted to see what kind of poems each other was reading, or if we have like a favorite poem we want to read. So who would like to start us off?
I can start us off. I think you before the break, you were talking a little bit about your Beats phase, which I can definitely relate to, probably like sophomore year of high school. It's like, I want to be edgy and like read all the Beats. And I'm going to read this Allen Ginsberg book before bed every night. And then once I got over that, well, does anyone read Barbie Doll? It's something they make you read a lot in like high school.
I think I have.
It's like a poem from Marge Piercy, who... she was like really a big figure during like second wave feminism, and she wrote that poem called Barbie Doll, which was in a different way edgy because it was very dark, and the Barbie doll was like in a casket. So I was like, this is my next edgy poetry phase. I'm just gonna read really sad dark poems. So I got her book of poetry called Made of Detroit.
Ooh.
Back when I was in high school, because she's a writer from Detroit where I lived. So I read a lot of those, so I'll read this one called Ignorance Bigger Than the Moon. A fly is knocking itself senseless against the pane. That is, if a fly's brain is in its head. Lobsters do not lodge their central nervous system there. So if one is to think of fly as an inconvenient lobster, anthropods and all. I've been reading about the ways plants communicate by chemicals, wondering if a tomato plant minds more if a chipmunk bites into its fruit or if I pick its ripe globes. A moth is trapped between the screen and closed window. If I had super hearing like a vampire, would I be bothered by its screaming? The world surrounds me with small mysteries, how ignorant I am. Or bigger ones. Does a tree suffer when it's chopped down? Is Earth weary of us who poison it? Is she calling even now to her sister meteors? I go through my muddled life like a pebble pushed by currents I don't acknowledge. I notice perhaps a hundredth of what swarms me on every side. Yet, if I could feel it all, hear every whisper or cry, notice all the faces in a crowded street, would I really be wiser, or only more confused, dumb, and defeated? Deafened.
Beautiful. Love that. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. Snaps are that.
That's awesome. Snaps. That's a genre convention. Snapping.
Yeah, uh-huh. Snapping. Riley, I know you have one.
I do. I love a lot of poetry and a lot of different poetry. One of my favorite like kinds of poetry is like spoken word stuff, because I think like the way that a poet can speak their own work is really incredible. Yeah. And one of my favorites is Sarah Kay. I'm sure I've probably mentioned before in a different What You're Reading. But I have a copy of a signed copy of No Matter the Wreckage, which I treasure. And I want to read one of her more popular, one of her more famous poems called The Toothbrush to the Bicycle Tire.
Love that.
They told me that I was meant for the cleaner life, that you would drag me through the mud. They said that you would tread all over me, that they could see right through you, that you were full of hot air, that I would always be chasing, always watching you disappear after sleeker models, that it would be a vicious cycle. But I know better. I know about your rough edges, and I have seen your perfect curves. I will fit into whatever spaces you let me. If loving you means getting dirty, bring on the grime. I will leave this porcelain home behind. I'm used to twice-a-day relationships, but with you, I'll take all the time. And I know we live in different worlds, and we're always really busy. But in my dreams, you spin around me so fast, I always wake up dizzy. So maybe one day you'll grow tired of the road and roll on back to me. And when I blink my eyes into morning, your smile will be the only one I see.
That's beautiful. Aww, snaps, that's really sweet. Snaps. You have a lovely reading voice, like a lovely poetry reading voice.
That's it's exactly specific. What I love from other poets.
I have one.
Well, okay, I have two, and I don't need to read either one of them. But they're just two of the poems that I've like done in-depth work with recently, and they're really lovely. One is in Spanish and one is in English. Ooh. One is a Sylvia Plath poem. Wah, wah. But I love Sylvia Plath. I won't lie. I'm not fronting on Skrull today. And then the other one is a poem by Federico Garcia Lorca. So I can read either one if you want, or if you want to go ahead and read your poem first, and if there's time, I'll read mine. It's flexible here.
Oh, I would love to hear the Sylvia Plath poem.
Sure. Oh, sure. Okay. It's called Mad Girl's Love Song by the illustrious Sylvia Plath. May she rest in peace. I shut my eyes and all the world drops dead. I lift my lids and all is born again. I think I made you up inside my head. The stars go waltzing out in blue and red, and arbitrary blackness gallops in. I shut my eyes and all the world drops dead. I dreamed that you bewitched me into bed and sung me moonstruck, kissed me quite insane. I think I made you up inside my head. God topples from the sky, hell's fires fade, exit seraphim and Satan's men. I shut my eyes and all the world drops dead. I fancied you'd return the way you said, but I grow old and I forget your name. I think I made you up inside my head. I should have loved a thunderbird instead. At least when spring comes, they roar back again. I shut my eyes and all the world drops dead. I think I made you up inside my head.
Lovely.
That's lovely. Is that a pantoum?
A what?
Is there like a strict form in that? Do you know? Because I love that. And it sounded a lot like
a pantoum
where like you repeat certain lines. I don't know.
I think if that's what that's called, then yeah. I did not. That word doesn't sound familiar to me, mm-hmm. but I am familiar with the convention of like repeating a line.
Yeah. I'm really mm-hmm. fascinated. I'm going to look at that poem now and try to do that.
Yeah.
Love that.
Send it my way.
I'm going to read an excerpt from a poem because some of it is not clean it's a little longer, but I love it. I might have read it on air before, and if I have, I apologize. But this is Artichoke by Bianca Stone, which was featured in a New Yorker magazine that I saw. And this is the last part of the poem. I've seen the last of it and ache. To be saved, there are wildfires, switching course to worry about. I take my daughter to the lake and watch her feed the tiny waves. The seagulls lift a sandwich right from my hands. I take out my tired breast, and of having felt like a small event for so long, having felt like an artichoke scraped away with front teeth, one scale at a time worked down to the meaty heart, but with the ultimate disappointment of meager flesh. And of being thus, I bet I will live again. I bet I will appear in full gear, the armor of ugly indefinite livability, the real body, alive or in decay, I'll appear. Like a thundering, I'll save myself, and you, and you.
Wow.
Yeah, that's one of my faves.
I love that.
But yeah, I think that's about all the time we have for today. Yeah.
Oh, next episode.
Next episode is going to be a bit of a continuation mm-hmm. of poetry, because we only have 2 episodes in April. Next week, yeah. we will not be here because it is Good Friday, and mm-hmm. DePaul is a Jesuit institution. So
Vincentian,
excuse me. Vincentian, so we won't be here for Good Friday, but we will be here the following week, and we're going to be back with some other poems, maybe some we've written.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
We at the Ogleblowers were writers, we're poets. We're not afraid to show it.
Exactly. And we might even bring in some poets from the Writing Center and outside to read some of their own work. We're going to have a little read aloud.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Keep an eye on our socials if you might be interested.
Absolutely. So keep an eye on our socials. Mm-hmm. Check out our blog. Come check out the Aqua Bowl.
Stay writing, Skrull Nation.
Stay writing. This is Skrull Radio signing off. Until next week. Goodbye. Surface to air.